And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, July the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2014. And what are we going to be talking about today? Well, as is our custom on Mondays, I, Tom Baker, want to talk to you about the reading for this coming Sunday. And there are some great readings from Deuteronomy, Romans, and Matthew. We're going to be taking a look at a passage that I think is often misunderstood. It's misunderstood not because we do not know how to translate it properly, but because of the application that is often made in connection with it. And what is that? It's Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. How do you understand that verse? And during the promo, one of the things I mentioned was the idea of how did it work out to good for those people who were in the plane over Ukraine that got shot down? They had no idea when they were getting on the plane that this would be the last day of their life here on earth. So how can we say that works for good? Well, there's two things I want to say about this. A lot of people will take a look at what has happened in their life that may be a great deal of suffering or something that's gone wrong, and they'll try and figure out, well, what's the good in it? Like, for example, you may be going on a trip and you get caught in a traffic jam, and you're really upset over it because you're going to be late until you get near the front of the traffic jam and see this great big accident. And if you had only been there a few minutes earlier, you would have been involved in that accident. And so you say, ah, now I see how God works together for good. The point I'm trying to make is that when something bad is happening to you, don't you get to think about, okay, what is there that could happen from this that will work out together for my good? In other words, people are always thinking about, okay, in the future, what's going to be good about what just happened to me? Now, sometimes we'll say, and I don't know what the good is, but I will when I get to heaven. And that kind of leaves a question mark, doesn't it? Is it really working out for your good? Now, there are a number of different ways of translating this, but I like this translation best. God works in all things for good. Now, why do I like that translation? Because it's not talking about that the good is going to be something coming out of what happened, but rather the good is occurring as it happens. I'll give you the most important example that you can even think about. What is the worst day of history? Would you not agree with me it was the crucifixion of God himself for our sins? But what day do we call that? We call it Good Friday. Why do we call it Good Friday? Do we call it Good Friday in light of 3 days later that he was to rise from the dead? No. In my view, the crucifixion was good while it was occurring, not because of what happened 3 days later. What do I mean by that? Well, listen to the words from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That forgiveness specifically is mentioned to those who were crucifying him. Jesus died and forgave the sins of the whole world. I've said this 100 times, but just in case this is your first time, it is an error to say, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven. Because, see, that makes the forgiveness of your sins conditional. No, the fact of the matter is your sins have been forgiven, and it occurred on the cross. Yes, we can say even to an unbeliever, your sins have been forgiven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the greatest good news. It's better than any billion-dollar lottery. It's good news. Last week, we were talking about how the law sometimes can be good news. The law? Well, first of all, there's a third use of the law when you're wondering, what is the will of God for me? And you look in the Bible, and there you find his law. Now, that's good. But I'm also talking about that the second use of the law, which accuses us of our sin, is good. We all know the first use of the law is good. That's where the government keeps order by hope of reward or threat of punishment. That's the first use of the law. That's a very good use of the law. So that when they arrest a bank robber, that's good, not only for society, but also for the bank robber. Why? Because now he will be disciplined and perhaps be rehabilitated. But it's actually good, the arrest. That's good. But how's the second use of the law good? Because who wants to hear that we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment? That doesn't sound very good. But upon closer examination of it, it is good. Why? Because unless you recognize how sinful you are from the point of view of God, then you're going to really have trouble thanking Jesus for all that he has done for us. I mentioned that in a sermon yesterday at Grace Pagedale. We had a great people there and appreciated the Lord's Supper that we all had. And the fact of the matter is, it was a good service, not because of the benefits that we are going to get from it, but because of the benefits we received during the service. But it's much harder to understand how good can be occurring during a time of suffering or catastrophe or disaster. I mentioned the folks flying over the Ukraine that suddenly found themselves dead on the ground because of a missile shot. How is that good? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. And so we need to understand that when we're talking about good, we need to look at what the Scriptures have to say about it. It says we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, the word for love here, there's two main words used in the Bible in the Greek for love. One is agape and the other is phileo, the city of brotherly love. This one is agape, which means we love God simply in the same way we love our parents. We don't love them in order to get something from them. We love them because of the relationship we have. So we're talking about believers here, that God works things together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I think a lot of people forget about that word. The word purpose here. Well, what it's referring to is that God is ready for action. He has a will or purpose to act for your good while suffering is occurring. That's why we call the crucifixion day Good Friday. But how does getting shot out of the air in an airplane, how is that good? It's good for those who love God, which means these are believers. All you have to do is go to verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. All right, so the good that is occurring for believers is that you have been predestined. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What is that? Holiness. It goes on, and those whom he predestined, now we're talking about the called, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, that glory doesn't have to wait till you die. You are in a state of glory now. Well, what does it mean to be glorified? It means you're receiving all kinds of blessings. That's the point we're trying to make here. And those blessings are such that, guess what? Those people who died, who were believers on that Ukrainian accident, or really wasn't an accident except for the fact that it's possible they weren't really shooting at that plane, another plane, and then it hit that plane because they didn't know how to shoot a missile. If that's correct, then those people who are believers, it was for their good. They are now in heaven. See, this is where the good comes. Verse 31 really touches it well. If God is for us, who can be against us? So, when a tragedy occurs in your life, God is for you. How do you know he's for you? Because it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also with him not graciously give us all things? Wow. There we have a wonderful example of what we're talking about. And I'm sure that as you look at verse 38 and think of those people in the plane over Ukraine, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to what? Separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, it really doesn't matter what is happening in your life. God's love is not separated towards you. There's nothing that can happen where God will stop loving you. I can prove that because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Are you part of the world? Yes. So he loves all people. But particularly for those who are in Christ, who have been called according to his purpose, who trust in the promises, there is nothing that happens to you that from God's point of view is not good. And when you think of the word good, most people translate it as good. The Greek is agathos. But it also has the understanding of blessing or being treated kindly. Now, the word I would like to consider is that there is nothing that happens to you that God is not merciful towards you. So if you were in that plane as a believer and you crashed to the ground, of course died, the blessing you have is instant presence with Jesus in the Spirit, instantly. Do you think that when you appear in heaven at that very moment before Jesus Christ in the Spirit, you're going to say, oh, that's terrible what happened? No. Why God calls some and not others to heaven at certain times, we have no idea. But the point I want to really get across here is that when it says that God works all things to good, we're not talking about future blessings from what we've experienced, but at the very point that it's happening, it is a good thing. A good thing in contrast to an evil thing? No, we're not using the word good in that sense. We're talking about that also is a blessing. For those of you, like myself, who've had a child die in an accident, we can understand that to be good because instantaneously that person is with Jesus. Jesus himself says, Matthew 7:11, the following, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. Now, sometimes your children ask you for something and you say no. Is that a good thing? Well, from their point of view, it's not. But from the parents' point of view, it is a good thing. Maybe they're not ready for it. Like, Dad, I'd like to stay up tonight till midnight to watch the ending of this Japanese horror movie. Godzilla, he's going to attack the country. No, you have to go to school tomorrow, Tom. You're only 4 years old. No, you can't stay up that late. Well, that's not a good thing from my point of view. But my parents, who have a bigger understanding of life, it's a good thing from their point of view. If you want to phone me on this, don't hesitate to do so. In St. Louis, it's 821-0850. That's 821-0850. Then toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Those are the phone numbers, and if you want to be talking about... Now, one of the things I'm not going to tell you is, what is the good that may be happening in your life outside of what the text clearly says? Because what the good is that you have not only been predestined, you have not only been called, perhaps through the waters of baptism, you not only have been justified, but you also are glorified in God's sight. This is wonderful good news. And it's wonderful good news because it occurs no matter what's happening. If you're having a good day, if you're having a bad day, both of them are good because God will never allow a temptation to come to you beyond your power to endure. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 also says, and he will provide a way of escape for you. How can you lose out on these items? I don't think you can. Because God is good. And therefore, if Jesus on the cross experienced goodness, then how can we not? All right, let's go to the phone lines right now, and we're going to speak to Willie. Hi, Willie, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have a question.
Yes.
Well, first, I agree with what you're saying, that everything that happened to us is predestined. Because I kind of like believing that that's what's going to be. He got it already set up from the day we was born. Okay, so is there a way, I was looking at also, is there a way if he got something set up for us already predestined, can we make a wrong turn that'll change what he had predestined for us?
All right, Willie, we're going to make a distinction here. The scriptures don't talk about every moment of our life is predestined, but we are predestined to be believers in Jesus Christ, and therefore when you're a believer, but you often can choose the direction. Jesus knows because of his omniscience what is going to happen, but he doesn't predestine everything in this world. You do make choices, and therefore you can change direction and this sort of thing. You have that freedom to do that in the temporal world. What Jesus is saying, if you are a believer, no matter what direction you go, he is working it out to your good. So if you decide to rob a bank, the good thing is that you get caught so you don't do more danger or something like that. So from that point of view, everything is good in your life, but not predestined, okay?
Okay, so it's almost like if somebody wrong you, there's a right way that we can take and just put in God's hand, but if we make the wrong turn and take it into our own hands, then that's not in his will.
Oh, that's a wonderful example. Now, I would say, you know, Jesus was wronged. He was crucified, and he went as a lamb without saying anything. He was silent. But In the case of, it depends how you were wronged. If somebody comes and robs your house, yes, it is wrong for you to go after them and shoot them, but it's not wrong for you to call the police and let God take over through that. So it's not that you don't take vengeance, you only do it through the proper authorities. But most things that I get wronged on are on a kind of a personal basis, and therefore I ought not take revenge in regard to that. All right. Thank you so very much for calling. I sure appreciate that. And we're just going to go down the line and let's talk to Mike. Mike, you're on.
You there?
Yep.
Okay, good. You didn't answer, so I guess things must be not too good. No.
You're not listening to the program. Even if I don't answer, it's still good, Mike.
Oh, okay, so it's a
yes.
Unspoken understanding. Okay. Anyway, No, I was watching some show on Channel 9, but this was a secular program, but they were talking about bad things happening to people, but these people were living through it, or at least some of them. This guy said that when you define a positive experience out of a negative experience, he said that's called rationalization. That's what this person said on the show.
Yes, because that's all they have. Rationalization simply means that you use your reason to concoct a purpose for what happened to you, and that's where you get your comfort. We don't have to use rationalization because we have revelation, Mike, that God says, because you are a believer, Mike, he's called you according to his purpose, therefore you are justified in his sight. So no matter what happens to you, nothing will happen to you that God is not in control of.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so very much for calling. Anybody else can call. The numbers are, well, we're almost out of time, so I'm not even going to give out the numbers. But Mike makes a really good point there, that secularists, and we did this a little while ago with a humanist. A humanist was trying to tell me how you get comfort out of a funeral when you don't believe in God. And her point was, well, you do so through remembering the person, and those memories help you. Well, I made the point, what if you have an abusive parent, or you have a spouse that's beating you? What kind of memories are comfortable there? About the only comfort is the person's dead, and that's not much comfort. So there is no comfort found apart from God. But people try and concoct comfort in their lives. And I think that's a very good point that Mike is saying. And if you want to see the concoction of comfort, just turn on any, probably any sitcom or any kind of a detective story on television, and you'll see a fallen world and see how the comfort that a lot of people get is absolutely contrary to the will of God. And of course, in some situations, in a good police show, those people who break the law, they're caught and they go to jail. But every now and then, the evidence isn't sufficient enough, and you'll say, well, he got away with murder. Well, no, he didn't, because God knows all things. And when God sees something happening, he's still in control even of what is happening in the life of the unbeliever. So both Willie and Mike make good points today, and I sure appreciate their call. What we're talking about is Romans 8:28, where it says, God works in all things for good. And I like that translation, because even in what is happening to you is good. Why? Because no matter what happens to you, you're still a redeemed, justified person in the sight of God. And he'll never give you more than you can handle. That's good in and of itself. I've been a pastor of a number of congregations, and I just haven't had a problem in any of them. It's just really amazing to me that occurs. But the only thing I'd want to say here is it worries me. Why? Because maybe God doesn't think I have enough faith to handle a problematic congregation. Imagine those who have a problem with members who get very angry at the pastor because he's not allowing everybody to come up to communion. You know, that would be something. Or they're very angry at a pastor when he teaches confirmation. He's against evolution. He's a creationist. And they think, well, that's crazy. Or many other problems can occur. I've never had, in the congregations I've been affiliated with, including my home congregation, I've never had that problem. And sometimes I wonder why I'm not having it. Maybe I don't have enough faith to get through that. Because God only puts you in situations. Now, the other reason, and here, Mike, I'm rationalizing. Well, because I don't have any problems in those areas, it gave me more time to do other things, like get on the computer, put up a website at lawandgospel101.com. And I would encourage you to look at that. Sign up right away for the mailing list, because we're sending out some free things again this week to those who sign up. But be that as it may, on tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be with Mark Smith going over a hymn. And the reason we go over hymns is, even though they're in an English hymnal, sometimes there are words and phrases that children may not understand. My wife was talking about the first two rows in the church yesterday were with children, and they were singing the hymns. You know, kids from the parochial school. Well, till tomorrow, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.